Welcome back yet again to the Ramble Room. This is another installment on our series on the platform of the Wyoming GOP. The original discussion went on for close to 2 hours, and so we've decided to break it up into segments. Each of these segments has a similar intro so that each show will stand as a standalone show. If you are following this series and don't want to hear the intro each time, just skip to about 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Another special edition. Again, we are joined by David Iverson of
Cowboy State Politics.
Also with us today is Todd Windsor. Todd is state committeeman for Sheridan County. Diane is here with us too. There's been a lot of talk of late about how the Republican Party has been taken over by extremists. What we want to do is take a good look at the platform and what it actually says. A lot of people will hear that there's complaining that these radicals have taken over, but they don't necessarily know what these radicals have said. So we want to quote from the platform.
Before we get there, Ken, just an important point. A lot of the people that are accusing us of being radicals were part of the discussion about the platform at the last Wyoming GOP convention. In fact, they were in the meeting. It's those same folks that are now claiming that the party's been taken over by radicals.
The current platform that the party's using dates back to 2012, to the state convention, of which a number of people who are now whining about it were part of and approved the platform.
One of the important parts of the party platform is the very beginning, where it says we believe that there are timeless truths. And everything that you see in the Republican Party platform are things that most people generally agree on. We say that they're timeless because they're true, and they've always been true.
Wyoming was one of the first states to take its platform and distill it down and condense it so it fit on one piece of paper front and back at the most. The National Republican Party actually took the Wyoming platform as an example and took their national platform, which was like 70 pages, and distilled it down to a similarly short piece of work. And that was all because of what we did here in Wyoming.
So what I propose is that I will read a few of these articles and let you two comment on them. Item 20, Article 20 is the last. Probably ought to be the first, because the First Amendment dealt with free speech. Freedom of speech is a fundamental right secured by the United States Constitution and the Constitution of the State of Wyoming. Freedom of speech includes the freedom of the individual to express his or her beliefs, ideas, and opinions without fear of retaliation, censorship, or legal sanction by government. It doesn't say without fear of retaliation, censorship, or legal sanction by another private enterprise.
Yeah, so the history behind this one's interesting. This was inserted in 2016, and it's there because there were people within the state party who were speaking out against the party in a public manner, and actually they were spreading what turned out to be mistruths, surprise, and they were getting criticized and eventually sanctioned by the party. So this originally was inserted by that group of people, and you know, they thought it was a slam dunk because who doesn't believe in freedom of speech, right? We all do. However, that was, as Ken said, it was how the last part of it was written. And it was written such that it was not just the government, but any kind of governing body, like the state party. And, you know, so they were going to go, aha, but your state platform says this, and you're not allowing me to have my free speech. So that got fixed and inserted because we all like free speech. We believe in free speech. However, if you're part of an organization, you need to abide by the rules of that organization, and you need to put that organization above, you know, your personal feelings. You know, if things are done in an executive session or if they're confidential, they're confidential. They're not to be spread to everybody with an internet browser and a web page or a microphone. If if you don't like how something happened, you don't try to win in the court of public opinion. You try to change the organization. However, the left loves to try everything in the court of public opinion and not let the traditional forms of justice or the way you handle things in an organization actually work as they're intended.
This one's kind of rearing its ugly head in the legislature right now. It's the main culprit is House Bill 218, or what was House Bill 218, and it was a hate crime bill. And that's how they mask, how the left masks restrictions on your free speech. They call it hate crime legislation. Really, what it is a regulating thought, you know. So it doesn't really matter what color somebody is if they get killed. The essential point is that they got killed in a crime and that we prosecute the people that committed the act, okay? The intent behind it doesn't make the crime any more serious than it already was. And Wyoming has a very swift criminal justice system. I mean, the classic example of that was the Matthew Shepard case. As tragic as that was, those two guys were rounded up within like 2 or 3 days. I mean, it happened fast. They were brought to trial, and they're in prison right now. Okay, our system worked perfectly. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have worked any better if there was a hate crime law. Okay, so
nor would their sentence or anything else.
No, it wouldn't have changed, right? Yeah. I mean, it's still you killed a guy.
Yeah,
you know, you deserve to go to prison or worse, depending on the circumstances.
Incidentally, I don't believe the popular narrative about that particular case. I don't believe it was a hate crime at all. I don't think it had anything to do with Matthew's orientation. I think what it had to do with was a drug deal that had gone bad. But that's just my opinion.
Well, and I think that goes to a larger, you know, a larger discussion that the circumstances of why someone is hurt or assaulted doesn't really matter. The question of why it happened doesn't matter. The point is that it did happen. And so when we introduce bills like hate crime legislation, really what it does is it stifles people's ability to express themselves. So we've created, you know, artificial groups in our society. So you're, you know, if you're gay or straight or black or white or Hispanic or Asian, well, then your particular group gets a certain set of rights. And that anybody who says anything against that particular group, well, then that's a hate crime. You're being intolerant. So it really is it really does stifle free speech. And if you would have listened to the committee hearing on that bill, it was amazing. It was from March 11th in the Judiciary Committee. You can find it in the House Judiciary Committee. You can find it on YouTube. But it is a glaring example of what hate crime legislation really is, and that is a restriction on free speech. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I would encourage everybody to go check that out on YouTube because it is amazing. And Todd, you're nodding your head, so I'm assuming you saw it. But the free speech is absolutely necessary. And really, the truth is the only right to free speech you have is the right to be offended. Because we have to tolerate speech with which we don't agree. That's the only way dialogue takes place. Yeah.
Say it ain't so.
It's so. Your only right is to be offended, Todd. And we've, in our society, we've inverted that to where that, you know, I have a right to not be offended all the time. And that's just bull crap.
And something that I'm getting out of this conversation is that I'm going to have to find a group to join.
Yeah.
So that I will have some special rights and I'll know for sure what they are.
Yeah.
Because right now I don't feel like I belong to a group that has any.
At least you're a woman.
Or yes, you are. You're an extremist.
But they don't have rights, do they?
No.
Oh, okay. No. Okay. Yeah.
But you're not a male extremist.
So that's
true. You have more rights than the three of us here.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So instead of this many,
you're
this
a
many.
White female extremist, and that's you have more benefits than white male extremists.
How much is more than none?
Well, I don't know. You get a cup of coffee or something.
Yeah. Is it okay. Multiplied or added?
Okay.
Yeah. But Diane, you bring up a really good point that really, like any restriction on free speech or hate crime, really results in discrimination inside of the law, that you're saying that one group has a particular set of rights that another group doesn't have. So you're enshrining what the Democrats accuse us of all the time, systemic racism. You're actually creating it. Because you're saying one group has rights that another
but
doesn't.
But that's so obvious, I don't even know how to explain it to them.
Well, you're an extremist. I mean, you don't speak the same language.
I know. And I wanted to bring up one other thing before we move on the what you were talking about with the hate crime bills and things, is that if we have to keep bringing up Matthew Shepard in order to point out the problem that we have in Wyoming, then we don't have a problem, because that was 40 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact date, but I remember about how old I was when I first heard about it. And
20, definitely.
No, I was 20.
Oh, yeah. I think it's closer to 40. I think it happened in the 80s.
Yes, that's what I'm remembering. But I'm old and I forget things too. But
my memory's fading too. So.
but they're still bringing that up to prove that we need a hate crime bill in
one
Wyoming.
Example in Wyoming.
Yeah. So 40 years ago, somebody got killed.
And my point was, it really wasn't even a hate crime. It just got seized upon as that. And when the recording stops, I'll tell you a little bit more about that if you want to hear.
But we're going to beat that drum to death, because it's the only one we have.
Ken's assignment after this is to watch the Laramie Project and write a report on it.
Actually.
Then you live with him.
speaking of documentaries, there's a great one by Dennis Prager. It's called No Safe Spaces.
Mm, yes.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah.
If you're listening, you should really go watch it, and you'll never guess which university the documentary starts at. It's at the University of Wyoming.
Well, now I don't get to guess, because you just told me.
Well, yeah, but it's more fun to talk about it.
Okay.
Do they bring up Matthew Shepard?
Yeah,
of course they do.
Yeah, weird. Yeah. But, you know, if you don't think that discrimination, like this advocacy of enshrining discrimination in Wyoming law isn't real, you should really go watch that documentary. I mean, you'll see how many groups are active in the state of Wyoming that are advocating for that very thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're too free. They can't have that.
No. You have too much freedom.
Yes.
Well, with that, we have worked our way through everything but the final statement, which just simply says, finally, having thus set forth our distinctive principles and views, we invite the cooperation of all citizens, however differing on other questions, who substantially agree with us, that's important, to offer their affirmation and support. Any final comments?
I have one.
I figured you would.
Maybe more than one. So the state party has been accused multiple times of forcing Republicans to believe in this platform and follow this platform, specifically our legislators. We've been accused of measuring them against their actions against this platform. We are frustrated by the fact that there are people in the legislature and in state politics who run under the Wyoming brand, but they have a little trouble with cowboy ethics because they don't ride for the brand. They seem to ride for whatever they want, which has very little to do with the Republican Party. A few years ago, we created this project where we would try to identify. We went through 500 bills that were on the floor. We came up with 200 of them that we could gauge between our platform, our party platform, that we felt were important to follow. And we kind of paid attention to how people voted on those 200. That information was compiled and turned over to the county parties so that they could use it at their level to deal with their people. An outgrowth of that, there were several individuals in the state who did a similar thing, picking like 10 to 15 bills and measuring legislators against it. And that's where you get some of the numbers about certain Republicans voting with the Democrats more often than they vote with the Republicans, or certain Democrats who are actually more conservative than certain Republicans, because it's based on a limited number of bills. The state party had nothing to do with that. our original goal was to try to encourage people who ran under the Republican brand to at least conform with 80% of this platform. Because, as David has pointed out, there are some issues in here which certain people have problems with. Maybe you're Republican, but, maybe you think that, marriage is more than just between a man and a woman. Maybe you are Republican, but you have trouble with the right to life issue. You have some other version of that. Maybe you're Republican, but you think that taxing people is okay. The bottom line is that there are 20 items here, and we're asking people to support 16 of them, yeah, fundamentally. And that's not a big hurdle.
Dovetailed to that is the idea that if I support the Republican Party, I'm giving money to the Republican Party to support candidates, and I'm looking at the Republican Party platform, and I'm thinking, this is a platform I agree with, therefore I'm going to give my hard-earned money to them, and then they turn around and give that money to somebody who has gone on a complete different path,
right,
then I have been betrayed, not necessarily by the party, but by the person who masquerades as a Republican to take the money to get into certain discussions or on fields of...
There were some complaints that the state did not financially support certain people running for office this last go-around. Typically, we give money to state party money to local, not local, but statewide candidates, state candidates like for legislator and representative. Typically that money is given to, the most money is given to people who are in a district that is currently Democrat and we want to turn it Republican, or people who have a tough race where they're going to need to have more money to maintain their position.
This is all post-primary, is that correct?
This is post-primary. Right. We're not allowed by the state, right, law, which brings up another thing. State law, interestingly, is written by the legislatures, and it kind of supports the incumbents in office. We're not allowed to campaign or support anyone in a primary at a party level. No one's ever challenged that, and it might be time to do that, because in other states where that's been in law, it's been overturned by the courts. So there are some people who feel it's time to challenge that law and just start supporting people in primaries. Whether that happens or not, we'll see. But the most of the people, when they complain, we didn't give money to so-and-so, that's because they were unopposed. Do we really need to give financial support to like Dave Kinski, who didn't run against anybody?
No, but you could give some to his opponent. You probably want to edit that out.
I might not.
But the whole support of the platform does play into that somewhat, and it doesn't. It's not a scientific thing, and it's not in writing anywhere, but the people who vote to give money know fundamentally where these legislators stand on issues and if they ride for the brand or not. And if they don't ride for the brand, they're having trouble getting more money than other people who do.
So. A couple of things. First, if you can't agree with the vast majority of things that are on the party platform, well, by definition, that means that you're not a Republican.
Exactly.
And you should change your party affiliation to what it is, mm-hmm, Democrat.
But that's not fair. I wouldn't be able to win.
Well, that's precisely why these redcoats don't. Yeah. Because they cannot win as a Democrat in most Wyoming counties. So they run as a Republican, and then they go to Cheyenne, and then they act like a Democrat.
Right. And it's not fair to the people of Wyoming.
No.
It's not fair because once upon a time we had a two-party state. And the dialogue and the debate was much better because people actually were grounded in what they were saying, versus now they're pretending they're Republican, but then they talk and act like a Democrat. And where's the debate? You know, where's the back and forth? You know, where you don't have it.
Well, and Wyoming, I mean, as a rule, we've had Democrat governors, we've had Republican governors, and right. Dave Freudenthal, Democrat, he was a great governor. I mean, I was pretty little when he was governor, but, you know, I mean, by and large, he's probably better than some of the Republicans that we've had. So, you know, what Todd is saying is that you have to have debate in order to find out who the best candidate is. And because we're a one-party state, a lot of people vote, they see that R, and they say, well, we'll just vote, yeah, vote Republican. And the truth is, a lot of the people that end up in Cheyenne are not, well, one, they're definitely not conservative, and two, they may as well just stop being Democrats who can't spell.
Debate's not all it's cracked up to be either, because I had my opponent in the last one stand up and say he was 100% in agreement with what we've just read, and then turned around and voted against it on numerous occasions. That's where that number 19, our civic duty, to be informed and engaged and to stick.
I hadn't even thought about this from the other side until before the primary last summer, and I was talking to a Democrat. She was looking at her write-in ballot and said, where are the Democrats? Mm-hmm. I said, they're there. They just are running as Republicans because they know they can't get in unless they do. And she went, oh, that's not right. And so it's not fair to the Democrats either.
one of the jobs I had during the last election was basically certifying the election results and auditing the election process beforehand. And, you know, it's one person from the Republican Party, one person from the Democrat Party do this. And I sat there, I actually felt sorry for the Democrats, because the same thing. If you talk about precinct positions, theirs are all open. They don't have anybody running. You know, they have, and you talk about in their candidates, they don't have anybody running. And, you know, that's just wrong. I mean, you know, it'd be far healthier for an active political debate if they had people actually running. You know, so when you debate your opponent in a race, you're debating, you know, they're actually out there honestly debating their view, not lying about it, and, you know, what they think, and then doing the opposite when they get elected. You know,
it'd be much more interesting.
It would be
the way it ought to be. Yeah.
Well, that's why I'm gonna open my program up to anybody who wants to have a conversation. You know, I mean, Democrats included, and just say, you know, I may not agree with you, but at least I'll include you in the conversation.
And please say that you're a Democrat.
Yeah, and well, they won't be able to get away with that on my show. But the point is, like Todd said, you know, we have to have the debate, and, you know, let's talk about ideas. You know.
I mean, the way the world is structured, the way the laws are structured, we're stuck with the two-party system, whether we like it or not. But we need two parties to have a two-party system.
That's why I'm all in favor of outing the Redcoats and just convincing them to change their name to Democrats.
Hear, hear. Gentlemen, Diane, this is probably the longest show we've ever recorded.
I apologize.
No, there's a lot of good stuff in there. I hope that you both will come back.
No, never.
Thank you. Maybe one of these days we'll sit down there in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming.
The base of the Bighorns.
That would be fun. At any rate, thank you all for your attendance, and thank you all for listening.